You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Our government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me why your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing ghetto to yourself. Young. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God. For all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it is pretty bad in a lot of places, tornadoes, man, torrential rains, some parts of the country, drought. Yeah, man, I tell you. But if it has to get done, it must be done. You will get it done. And we love you and appreciate you for the tenacity, for your perseverance, for your intrepidness. We love that. There's no fear in you at all. You get it done. Right on, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But of course, the shortcut, you can go to one of your, how you get online in your servers, you know, Google, whatever, you know, just go there, put in babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, and there once again will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. On Mondays, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamal Kamban, Dr. Mawia Kamban, and their daughter, Nataki Kamban, from 8 to 9 on Mondays, Black Therapy Central. And then following that is from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report, this evening from 8 to 9 this evening, the Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. And then on Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. The Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 on Saturdays. And then Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. All right. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. These products are produced by us. Brothers and sisters, they have a whole array of products. Please go to WeBuyBlack.com. Africanforafricans.com to be supportive. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba has been taking our brothers and sisters to the motherland for many, many years, over 500. And a great program. He's has a tour upcoming in May, May 24th through June 5th, 2022. $3,800. Only $3,800. Then in November, November 17th through the 28th of 2022, once again, $3,800 to go to Tanzania. And then December 24th to January 5th, 2023, going to Ghana, and that's $4,000. And then it goes back to 38 because there was a trip to Senegal and Gambia this year that did not happen, but it's going to happen next year, March 31st to April 10th, 2023, to Senegal and Gambia at $3,800. Then there's going to be a reconnection, an investment tour to Liberia, July 20th through the 30th, 2023. That's also for $3,800. And then at the end of the year, December 24th to January 4th, 2024, for $4,000, South Africa Roots and Cultural Tour. And then, of course, you can always go online to look at the land that is for sale, the investments at the Black Star Repatriation, and the Pan-African community that is being developed in Ghana. All that on AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans.org. Everything you need to make that trip of a lifetime, all the information, all the documentation, all the everything is right there at your fingertips. Africa for the Africans. Habeshah, HabeshahIncorporated.org. HabeshahIncorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, they have been doing the work. They deserve to be supported. They have the Kashi Project that is ongoing. In fact, the Kashi Project will have a launch October 8th through the 17th in Ghana. In Ghana, they have a launch going. Apologize. I can do that a lot because that's I just constantly get that. I don't know how I can not get them, but damn it. Them scam calls, it's just, man. Habeshah Works, Black to Our Roots. Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Job. These are projects that are ongoing with HabeshahIncorporated.org. Go to HabeshahIncorporated.org and see for yourself what is being done. Ledge Group. The Ledge Group. Land for the environmental development of group economics. For the environmental development of group economics. The Ledge Group, working in the four areas of human existence, of human necessity, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. That is a necessity. With 12 projects on 6 countries and over 170 employed with over 260 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group. In fact, membership has its privileges. You have the opportunity to buy land in Tanzania. Beautiful Tanzania. You have an opportunity to buy land at $250 an acre. Go to theledgegroup.com. Theledgegroup.com. Land for the environmental development for group economics. Abibiatumi. Abibiatumi.com. Abibiatumi.com. They're looking for support. Help build institutions, our institution. Help hold, you know, let's hold up, which is holds us up, and that's what we should do. Give a contribution to the Ledge Group to help and return us to Ma'at, to balance. The Ledge, Bibiatumi.com. Go to Bibiatumi.com, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com. Smy Pharmacy. Brother Jabril, contact Brother Jabril. Give him a call at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229. Smy Pharmacy. Go to smypharmacy.com. If you want to contact him through email, smypharmacy@gmail.com. S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. acy@gmail.com. Smile Pharmacy, brothers and sisters, Brother Jabril will write a program out for you. If you are having health issues, if you want to get off the medications and be more holistic, brothers and sisters, give him a call at 731-327-6229, smilepharmacy.com. My daughter's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the West End area of Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy, have a fine selection of smoothies and fruit drinks and all kinds of good stuff, pastries and bean pie, soups, rolls. They have vegan food on Saturday and Sunday that you can purchase. That's Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located right across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And so check it out. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, the Medu Bookstore. Contact my good sister, Mamnia, at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines. You got it. If you want it, you got it. And if you don't, she don't have it, she'll get it for you, believe me. So give her a call. All right, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Gazimde Ajamu with the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia and Coffee Bar. Give them a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Afroletics. Afroletics, located in the new Black Wall Street Market. That's in Stonecrest. The new Black Wall Street Market, right off I-20. If you're in Atlanta, you would go east on I-20 and you'll exit number 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right. Three lights, make another right, and there it is on the left, the new Black Wall Street Market. It has the brother who does says the athletic clothing with African themes, the Zulus, the Rebels, the Omeks, the Dogon, Starseed, the Moors, the Herus. It's cold, too. It's very good quality work. And I bought a couple of things from him. So it's a good brother. He has a store in the new Black Wall Street Market, as well as Brother Michael McGee Jr., his CBD store, you know. And then Brother Saj with his jewelry, Sajifo, his jewelry, Timbuktu, and artwork. So check it out. Go online, check it out. Or if you're here in the Atlanta area, check them out, especially on the weekends. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative of our people, will have their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. From 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. If you want to call just to listen, or you want to call to give comments, questions, or concerns, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village, gift shop and everything. They got furniture, they got clothing, they got CDs, DVDs, books, products, and even have a vegan restaurant in the Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give my good brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop, located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. They're inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Brothers and sisters, contact my good sister, Shelly Amonset, at 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Aiti, Sister Gabriella Aurelio, has been doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, in the hills, with our beautiful children, with education, health care, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Check it out. Go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti, AYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Baba Baruti was on the radio with me on Monday. He'll be back next Monday. We're talking about his book, Identity. We're talking about his book, Identity, which needs to be discussed. It's very important that we have these discussions, as you know. So be with us on Monday. But if you want to check out Baba Baruti and you want to support him and his lovely wife, Inia, of what they're doing, raising our young warriors, go to Akabin Institute. Send your check or money or auto, send your check or money order out. Make it out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But of course, you can use PayPal at PayPal. It's yabaruti@yahoo.com. If you want to use Cash App, it's the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, BARUTI. And you can make a one-time donation or ongoing donation, whatever is on your heart, whatever you can deal with, please do so. It's very necessary. Also, too, the books that Baba Baruti writes, and he's a prolific writer. We're dealing with his new book, Identity. But he has a number of books. Go to Akabin House. Akabin House. AKOBENHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. And he has a fine selection of books. You know, in fact, we're going to deal with one right now. That's right. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. March 22nd. If the race is incapable of unity, it is incapable of survival as a free and equal people, and will deserve all the inequities imposed upon it. For it will have proven beyond all question that it is indeed unfit to survive as a people free and equal in every respect whatsoever with other people of the earth. Dr. Chancellor Williams. It is very easy for Yorugu to control the interests and appetites of spoiled African children because they have been molded into weak, needy individuals. Given that they are the domain and the dominant economic power in all areas of people activity, Yorugu is better able to satisfy more of their materialistic and the attention needs than we can. And naturally, weak, needy individuals adopt the policies and the politics of whoever feeds, soothes their tortured egos. Weak individuals overwhelmed by lies become liars. We should remember Ptahotep's wisdom that he who is ruled by his appetite belongs to the enemy. And there are emotional as well as intellectual and material appetites. One of the general characteristics of the spoiled is that they are subject to fits of anger when they cannot easily win or are proven wrong. In fact, it is one of spoilage's most visible qualities that along with argumentation, which is equally reflective of their mental sub-integration into a culture proud of its pretensions for noise and confusion are hallmarks of weakened, broken, ego-ridden minds. We are at war for the sanity and survival of African people. Let me repeat. We are at war for the sanity and survival of African people. We cannot afford to gift our children to enemy interests. We have got to stop coddling weakness. We must stop coddling weakness. Mama Remember sent me something. In fact, I'm going to dig it up and play it because I think it's that relevant. She sent me something. Affirm, I work toward the unification of African people. Affirm, I work towards the unification of African people. Chancellor Williams. March 23rd. When deeds speak, words are meaningless. African proverb. When deeds speak, there's nothing needs to be said because it's being done. It is manifesting. It is happening. So words is not, they're meaningless. In our quest for real models of revolutionary warrior scholars, we must remember that our closest and most powerful heroes and sheroes rise during times of conflict with others. They are awakened to their power during our hardest of times. Conflict with enemies tests strengths and loyalties. Struggle tempers. Our heroes and sheroes also held another quality in common. Even though death is a sure sign of being at war, they refuse to entertain a fear of it. As bona fide warriors, they were willing to die for the people. Martyrs do not want to die, but they recognize its historical inevitability when dealing with destroyers who know little else. Through their show of strength, they make it clear that as warrior scholars, we must know that we would rather die as Africans than vicariously and imitatively live as Europeans. We would rather die as Africans than to live as Europeans, I say. Like them, the future of our people must become more critical than our own physical survival. For us, this spiritual crisis challenges our deepest thinking about the mobilization of power and the creation of reality. Brothers and sisters, affirm. Struggle tempers me. Affirm. Struggle tempers me. Brothers and sisters, we are at war. We are at war. And it's not going to let up. It's not. You know? And so I'm saying to us, whatever we must do, whatever we must do, we have to do it and do it without whining, without whining and crying. We must do it. Okay, here's a video. Here's a video that Mama Marimba sent me. And it's only about a couple of minutes long, so we're going to get off into it.
Today, I am here to make the case that Africa does not, in fact, have a leadership crisis. To say so would be to assert, against historical evidence, that it is ever the older leader who is the protagonist of change. He or she seldom is. Accumulated self-interest, ties to promises long made, a lack of energy, make it very difficult for the older leader to be the change maker. No, our issue is not a crisis of leadership. What Africa is actually suffering from is a lack of a critical mass of courageous youth.
Yep. So true. Same thing here. Of African-minded, African-centered youth. The predominance of our youth here. That's why I say that the hip-hop thing was detrimental. Because it glorified a number of aspects and things that were non-African. And that's who we are. We're Africans. But yet, we want the trappings of the West. We want the trappings of the Europeans. We want, in fact, that's why I maintain for those who are espouse to wanting to be black, they don't want to be African. They want to be black. And being black means that I want the same thing Caucasians have, but in blackface. I want the jobs, the promotions, to live in these secluded, gated subdivisions, cul-de-sac communities, drive these kinds of cars. I want all those material things in blackface. Just me, because I'm an individual. And I believe in capitalism, and I believe in this system. And to me, If you don't get yours, it's your fault. This is there. I got mine. Many of us truly do not understand that the Caucasian, the European, Urugu understood that we got to have somebody in here. We just can't. We can't. This is not like it was in the 1860s. And then right after that, we got to make sure that they understand their place. Because right after that was Reconstruction. And y'all was just trying to move too much too fast. And then we came down on y'all with serious segregation. Serious. In fact, with the chain gangs and putting us in prison, literally sometimes for nothing, and then jobbing us out to various work sites, i.e. the cotton plantations, the railroads, the mining, and we would be there for years for what they said was loitering. We just standing around. Where you, boy? Where you going, boy? Where you supposed to be at, boy? Oh, you Lord, we can't put you in jail. And then for a day or two, not even that longer, send you out to a job site. Convict leasing. Man, I tell you, these folks know no boundaries. We're talking today about a real revolutionary, one of my heroes, Dr. Walter Rodney. Dr. Walter Rodney, I'm going to read some of the, we haven't read in a while, you know, because we don't get a chance to, well, we do, but, you know, I'm going to read Kwame Nkrumah, who is another contemporary of Walter Rodney. And I mean, these men and women of that time, I admire greatly, because this was the time that a lot of things were happening, and the European wanted to make sure he moved this mindset into the direction that they wanted it to go. They wanted to make sure that, particularly here in America, that the civil rights movement of us wanting to have a place on the toilet seat the same as white folks, be able to drink out the same water fountain as white folks. We wanted this kind of equality, you know. We wanted the same thing, you know. Yeah, let me get to some of the information that I want to provide for you here. You know, this quote by Errol Hone is just constant. I will have to read it all the time. As he said, there is no other historical instance. There is no other in the history of the world, in the history of humanity, where a people were captive and held captive whatever amount of time, that once that captivity ended, they wanted to maintain the relationship with their captors. That's just like what did they call that? Oh man, Oshie, come on, see? You started to really get this thing where you can't remember something, you know. You'll get it. I'll get it, you know. When you identify with your captors, Stockholm syndrome. See, I told you I would. Like the Stockholm syndrome, when you identify with your captors, you are willing to support them. The main thing on the Stockholm syndrome, when I first heard it, was Patty Hearst. Patty Hearst, who comes from a very rich family, the Hearst Foundation, media moguls and big time. You know, she was kidnapped
by the Symbionese Liberation Army. And then you see her dressed in black with a tam on or with a gun assisting with a bank robbery, you know, identifying with your captors. That's the first time I heard it. But the real problem is us. That's the real problem. Because we've been identifying and pleading with these captors to please let us become part of what and who and what you are. You know, he says here, there is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point they would completely abandon the superior wealth of their own homeland and let others fight over or give to others, give to Chinese, give to Arabs, give to Indians, give to Caucasians. You rather go other places in the world and beg. Now, I understand a lot of our people who don't want to blame the things that have shaped us. They want to blame us. They want to blame us because we can't get our minds right, because we can't step outside of these imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed on us and begin to think right. We cannot release the vice grip that the European, the Caucasian, the cracker, the Urugu has on our minds. And releasing the vice grip, well, all it takes is coming into an African mind. Because once you do that, the vice grip, the only way you can release it is acquiring knowledge of self. And coming into an African mind is requiring knowledge of self. And so that knob at the end of the handle of the vice grip begins to loosen. It begins to turn and turn until finally the tension that is on the vice grip will be released and you'll open it up. But you don't challenge white folks. To hell with white folks. To hell with these Caucasians. We challenge each other to be the best that we can be, to work together, to learn to trust one another, believe in one another, respect one another, build with one another. And I ain't just talking about here in America. No, hell no. I'm talking about us globally. I'm talking about us globally. That's why I'm not into the fight of reparations for us here in America. No, I am not. Because I know the fight for us for reparations here in America is about money. It's about money. Give me some money so I can go do this, that, and the other. The fight for reparations should be about repair. It should be about building institutions. It's about preparing ourselves to do the work, to build a continent, to build roads and hospitals and schools and homes, energy systems that will not mess up the ecology. We've already known for some times that oil is not good, but yet they still talking about oil. Still, on the news today, they're talking about it. Trying to find more wells, more money. Oh, man. You know, Kwame Nkrumah, if you know me, you know, I like Kwame Nkrumah. Yeah. I you know, we're going to talk today about Walter Rodney, and of course Walter Rodney from Guyana was also a revolutionary. He was also a revolutionary, very revolutionary brother, and he was committed to helping the people understand the evils of capitalism. The evils of capitalism. I always like to read this in talking about this, about Nkrumah. This piece from Lord Macaulay in 1835, February 2nd of 1835. He had an address to Parliament after being here in Africa for a serious amount of time. So he's addressing Parliament. He says, I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber, that I do not think that we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them to be, a truly dominated people, a dominated nation. We control them. When Baba Rudy comes on next Monday, we'll talk about how important culture is to identity. That's what Dr. Walter Rodney's talking about. That's what he's talking about. Yeah. This is what Kwame Nkrumah said, you know, in 1957 after independence. He said this in 1961, 4 years later. He said, I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, that the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear and envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on the hope, trust, friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind. That's what should have been happening. That should have been the direction. But then he stated some years later, saying, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. I swear I hate the fact that they were right in that respect. I do. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of Europeans' thought and behavior. In order to understand the effect that the European has had on our ability to think, on our ability to even think victoriously, we must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so that we can visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is a demand by an African-centered view, because why? We are Africans. And because the future towards which Europe leads us is genocide. We must shape and fashion our future in our image and our interests. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about this, brothers and sisters. We must fight for the interests of African people. We are an African people, and we must fight. I tell you, I'm going to play a piece since we got a little time here. Before, this is Walter Rodney. I'm going to talk about Walter Rodney. You know, I love to learn about people in our history, people that we don't know who made major contributions a lot of times, because we don't look at our historians and our scholars, and we most often look at what the Europeans have done. So we don't, you know, look at them too often. Yeah. But this is a piece from the Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. It's a good piece here. And this is deals with Walter Rodney.
Walter Rodney. On March 23rd, 1942, Walter Anthony Rodney was born to parents Edward and Pauline Rodney in Georgetown, Guyana. Rodney's family was considered working class, but he was still able to excel in his academics as a young boy. During high school, he continued to excel, which led him to graduate at the top of his Queens College class of 1960. Queens College was the top male high school in Guyana. Because of his academic excellence, he earned a scholarship to attend the University of the West Indies at Mona, Jamaica. In typical Walter Rodney fashion, he graduated at the top of his class with honors and a degree in history in 1963. His next step was attending the School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of the West Indies, where at the age of 24, he was an honor student and earned a PhD in African history. His dissertation, A History of the Upper Guinea Coast, 1545 to 1800, was so exceptional that the Oxford University Press published it in 1970. While earning his master's and PhD, Rodney was a professor at the University of Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, 1966 to 1967. He served as a professor at the university for a second stint from 1967 to 1974, moving into his rise as a political activist. As a college student, his popularity began to rise because of his ability to speak to the public, as well as his participation in the demonstrations against the Jamaican government. Rodney was meeting with human rights groups that represented the poor, Rastafarians, and anyone who was against the government. He even became an acquaintance and student to the Caribbean legend C.L.R. James. Because of his affiliations, Rodney was being targeted by the Jamaican government and labeled as a problem. Rodney wanted the government to stop the oppression of its people. Black power, black liberation, and black consciousness were the core of his messages. Using his academic prowess, he learned four additional languages to help him become more proficient and skilled at researching the history of his people. In 1968, after returning to Jamaica from a conference in Montreal, Canada, Rodney was denied re-entry into Jamaica, which caused a riot that started in Kingston called the Rodney Riots. In 1969, he published his first book, Groundings with My Brothers, a book that focuses on the decolonization of Africa and the Caribbean and the promotion of black power. In 1968, Rodney would move to Cuba before moving back to Tanzania. While in Tanzania, he found work as a lecturer, which allowed him to travel and witness the effects of European colonization on Africa and its people. In 1972, Walter Rodney published his most popular and groundbreaking book, How Europe Underdeveloped Africa, a book that highlights the colonization and exploitation of Africa and its people by European colonies. Rodney used his platform to create intellectual spaces of discussion to help analyze their current conditions and how they could change them. These discussions coincided with the 6th Pan-African Conference, which was held in Tanzania in 1974. Also in 1974, Rodney moved back to Guyana after accepting a position as a university professor at the University of Guyana. The offer was eventually rejected by the government of Guyana, or more specifically, the People's National Congress. To make a living, Rodney moved his family to the United States to teach and further his mission of ending the oppression of black people under the colonial powers. In 1979, Rodney was arrested along with 7 other people after being accused of burning down government offices. In 1981, he published 2 books, Marx and the Liberation of Africa and A History of the Guyanese Working People, 1881-1905. His books shed light on the mistreatment and oppression of people because of race and class and gave information on overcoming differences in the name of unity and upliftment. The organization, the Working People's Alliance, was formed in 1974. Rodney joined and eventually became a leader in the organization. They went on to successfully unite people from Africa and East India as a political party that challenged the Guyanese government. Because of his activism in the Caribbean, Africa, and the United States, Rodney was a target for several governments and labeled as a troublemaker. He was often harassed by various police forces and dealt with constant threats to his life.
On June of 1980, Walter Rodney was assassinated by a military officer using a remote control bomb. Rodney was 38 years old. Before his death, Rodney left the world a great legacy of a freedom fighter who demanded liberation for his people. He was recognized and honored for his contributions to the world. Over 18 awards, foundations, and conferences, etc., were named in honor of Walter Rodney. He published 12 books and 24 other publications. He used his intelligence and bravery to give a voice to the people he witnessed being oppressed, his people. To the great Walter Rodney, we proudly stand on your shoulders. For more information, please visit www.ontheshoulders1.com. And you can support On the Shoulders of Giants on Patreon by visiting patreon.com/OTSOG.
Well, welcome back, brothers and sisters. I tell you, Dr. Walter Rodney. You know, he's a man that many of us have not heard about. There are many others, men and women, who were warrior scholars, men and women who sacrificed their careers for the independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Men and women who went to the universities, and the amount of money that it cost to go to some of these places, and they made that sacrifice, getting all that those universities had to offer to deal with the issues that are affecting our people. And I applaud them for that. I really do. For that's a tremendous sacrifice. You know, you can get your doctorate and you can go to work somewhere and get your money. You know, live the way you want to live or way you think you should live because you got that money and that prestige, you see. But Walter Rodney and many others like him, they make that sacrifice. In their studies, they see the contradictions. They see the fallacy of the system that is perpetuated by capitalism, by a political system that controls and dominates. And so you challenge it. You vigorously challenge it. And many times you challenge it and they're exposed. But a lot of times if you do that, you expose yourself. Not just to, you know, discrediting you or belittling you or making you, no, to the point of eliminating you, killing you. He firebombed his, in fact, his brother was in the car and he tried to find a way to blame it on his brother because they didn't want you to know that the system did it. They want to find some way. In fact, they tried to say that he, Walter Rodney, was getting materials. And somehow it was a bomb that went off. I don't know what they believe it accidentally, whatever. It's foolish. It's crazy. But that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with, and I'm quite sure under the direction of Europeans, these Negroes did it because that's what happens. It's just like all the other situations. Negroes do it. But we have to understand that many of our people have been under a European imposed mindset for generations. Generations. And so that's why today you can see many of our people who are willing to go along to get along, who are willing to support whatever the Europeans are presenting. No, they don't want independence, self-determination, liberation, or sovereignty. They want a comfortable corner. They want a comfortable niche into European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. They want a comfortable niche in that, and will fight for that, and will defend that. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll have more conversation on the history of Walter Rodney. I'd like for you to join the conversation as well. Dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And become a part of this conversation. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Maria Kambon and Ataki Kambon. Then from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey Evan Cobra. On Tuesdays, this Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. And then on Wednesdays, it's the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. Saturdays at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. You know, I play, and I want to make mention of these great warrior scholars and historians and men and women who made these sacrifices, so you will understand and know that we have always resisted. We're just not caving into this, even though it looks like it, especially because the majority of our people, the unfortunate majority of our people, you know, bought into the bull, bought into the line, you know, and they don't care what happens to Africa. They don't care what happens to Africans. You know, they're willing to let Urugu maintain dominance and control over resources, over information, and everything else. I understand what Urugu has done. Believe me, I do. I know the fear that it puts into people. I know that when they feel that you are stepping outside of the imposed boundaries that they have placed on us, then they're going to have to deal with you. You know? They'd rather deal with an individual than to deal, of course, with us in mass. And that's the thing. We need to be in mass. We need to be in mass. We need to be a serious collective of warriors, of revolutionaries, of men and women who are willing to make what is always considered the ultimate sacrifices, and that's to lay down our lives for this, for independence, for self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. And that's what the people that I love to bring to you have done. Dr. Amos Wilson, Dr. Francis Chris Wells, and Dr. Walter Rodney, Carter G. Woodson, all of them. I'd like to bring to you the attention of these men and women who make the ultimate sacrifice for us as a people, because we truly do stand on the shoulders of giants. Here's a piece with Dr. Walter Rodney, and he's talking about identity, which of course we just been talking about identity. And we'll talk more about it on Mondays with Baba Mwalimu Mubaruti. I chose this. It's not long, but it's impactful.
A negative attitude towards Africa. In San Francisco, on African Liberation Day, Brother Walter Rodney, an African historian, noted both the importance of African Liberation Day in terms of our African identity and some of the root causes for our problem of identification.
I have met brothers and sisters who say that their mother tongue, quote unquote, is French, Spanish, Dutch, Portuguese, as well as English, which we speak. And because of this, we have a problem of identification. We do not know whom we are. And that is why this gathering is of great symbolic importance, because it is an act of identification. We are saying that we identify with the African people of the African continent. We are saying that we are an African people. And when we make this identification, have no illusions about the fact that this is a very revolutionary initiative. It is a rejection of every other form of identification which the white society has asked us to accept. Let me draw your attention to something which white universities and white libraries practice. And this is a university community. Numerous universities lie around this land. Go into their libraries and check the Library of Congress cards under Europe or European. You will find all entries listed concerning the continent of Europe. You will also find entries listed about Europeans in East Africa, Europeans in North Africa, Europeans in Asia and Australia. Look under the Chinese. You will find entries listed not only for mainland China, but for Malaysia and for the Chinese in North America. But look on the Africa and the Africans, the only entries on the Africans relate to the continent itself. There are no entries on the Africans overseas. There is no such category. Africans who have been raped from the continent mysteriously disappear and become Negroes.
And he's right again. He's right again. Brothers and sisters, you know, we have been saying this for so long. There has to come a point in time for us to make this particular stand. That's why I support the Pan-African Federalist Movement. You know, there has to come a time that we make a serious stand for independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as a people. And we make this stand on the continent, and we make this stand with Africans on the continent who are in charge, of countries, even though the boundaries aren't real. We're in charge of countries who are willing to join hands with other Africans on the continent and throughout the diaspora. It is that time. It's been past the time, but it is that time right now. If we are going to survive as a people, we must do it. In fact, what was interesting when I was looking at this piece for Walter Rodney, and you know, I don't know, you know, when you go to YouTube and you see you got a piece up that you're going to listen to, and on to your right is a whole line of things that you could also listen to or watch and so forth. And when I'm playing this and other revolutionary things, I see a piece with Howard Nicholas. I see a piece with Howard Nicholas. And if you don't remember who Howard Nicholas is, I played him a number of times. He's the Caucasian. He's the Caucasian who believes that Africa should remain poor. He believes that Africa should never develop the ability to produce things on its own. He believes that Africa should never develop the unity that it must have for its very survival. He wants Africa to remain poor, to be exploited, so they can get the raw materials out, and then they do the producing. This is, see, some of these people are just arrogant. They're not doing things clandestinely. They're not doing things in secret. No, they're doing it right in your face, because they have gotten away with it for so many decades and centuries. They've been unchecked.
They've done what they've done. And they've been unchecked. And here we stand. That's why I like to read that piece by Brother Errol Hone, because he's on point. He's on point. There are other people in the history of humanity who have been subjugated, and then after freeing themselves from subjugation, will still be willing to side with the captor. You know, still be willing to do whatever they can to side with the captor. That's us. See, when I look at these revolutionaries, these men and women and all the people in our history, you know, who fought Europeans, some of the women who fought them because some of the men were weak. And I played that piece that Mama Marimba sent to me about the sisters. She's saying, you know, that these youth, there's no revolutionary spirit among the youth of our people. It isn't. Because they wouldn't be, if it was, they wouldn't be getting so damn high. They wouldn't be so enthralled with video games. They would begin to look at and infuse themselves with history and knowledge and information. They are willing to go along to get along so they could be basketball, football stars. My son is one of them. My grandsons are one of them. They'd rather do that. Brothers and sisters, you can join this conversation. We have a number of people in the queue. Hit star twice. Lets me know that you want to have some conversation about what we're talking about today. You know, the kind of spirit that we need, the kind of spirit that Sir Walter Rodney, Dr. Walter Rodney engendered. You know, we need that. So hit star twice or dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. It's African Perspectives. Okay. People here. 919-919. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. 919-768. 919-768. Good afternoon. Okay. Maybe you just want to listen, and that's cool. You know, that's perfectly all right. 602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my brother. How are you doing, Brother Marcus? How are you?
I'm doing okay, good brother. I'm
good.
Doing all right.
Good.
You know, that book there, that book that Walter Rodney wrote,
How Europe Underdeveloped Africa, yes. Powerful,
that
isn't it?
That was one of the best books,
yes,
I ever read, because that book helped me understand even what's going on now in Africa.
Yes, yes.
You know, it helped me to break it down because, you know, in some African countries, they have political parties based on tribes, you see, so and then they promote democracy.
Right.
So if we're talking about democracy, then where everybody is democratic, then so hey, I have my little tribe, a good setup, you know. Say that,
right.
You know, so that's division. It's not our own. It's not our own race. You see, it's our own tribe.
Right.
You know, and you know, so that's not promoting unity.
No. In fact, one of the worst things is upholding tribalism. That is
exactly
a problem. Tribalism,
exactly.
mysticism, all of that. You know, we need to begin to move into an age at this time where we recognize all the things from the past that were happening with us and we were clinging to and promoting. were to our detriment. We need to now try and implement Pan-Africanism.
Well, you know what happened? You know what's going to happen? I think with the present situation that's taking place globally and with what everybody talking about, cyber attack and this and that, conditions may drive us to do, you know what I'm saying? It may take, drastic conditions.
Well, you whatever. Brother Marcus.
To prepare for a cyber attack. Mm-hmm. You hear Biden telling folks, get ready for a cyber attack. So with a cyber attack, could shut down the lights, it could shut down the water. You don't know what the hell, it could shut down the banking system, you know? So.
That's right. So I agree with you. You know, but I mean, whatever, to me, whatever it takes, but it shouldn't take that. What it should take is our understanding and recognition of what has happened to us. And then, eliminating the old mind that was dominated by Europeans and infusing the new mind that is understanding shock. Of who we are.
It's shock. Because,
yes.
This is shock. But I always say shock. Shock will wake you up. All right. Shock and hunger, some hunger pains.
Yeah.
You wake you up. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know, it's sad. You look at what's happening over there in Ukraine or something like that. And, you know, this man, that same man there, that Zelensky, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, a couple of years ago, he had them people laughing on TV, you know.
Right, but yeah.
I remember that guy was a comedian, you know.
Right.
Ain't laughing today, though, Brother Oshie.
No,
ain't
sir.
Ain't no laughing taking place. So
no, ain't nothing funny at all.
Ain't nothing funny now. So, anyway, I just, you know, just put in my little two cents, Brother Oshie.
All right, my brother. All right. Thank you, Brother Marcus. Appreciate you.
No problem.
All right, have a blessed day. Peace. All right, Brother Marcus, always been listening since I've been on. Time for an awakening, be what, 4 years now? Man, time flies. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I know there's some, and of course, we have a number of people in the queue, so hit star twice. It lets me know that you have a question, a comment, or a concern. We're not just talking about Dr. Walter Rodney and his great work, How Europe Underdeveloped Africa. You know, see, that's why I'm saying is that this issue of reparations is global. That's why, to me, what ADOS was doing was divisive, you know, because all they're talking about anyways is getting some money, getting some money. I don't give a damn about no damn money. I want repair. I want develop institutions. I want us to develop people to do the work for infrastructure on the continent. I want what I want to see happening is that brothers and sisters are going home. For those, and I believe a lot of us, I always try to use the correct words, the correct word for the situation. So I'm saying I know a lot of us are going to stay here. I know a lot of us who believe this system because we've grown up in it. We've seen sometimes when we put pressure, it made a slight change. A change of appeasement, a change so that you can, you know, just shut the hell up for right now until it goes back to normal. Then you challenge it again and we do the same damn thing. We as African people will never, ever share in this madness, quote, equally, or quote, with our sanity, with us as being African. It will not happen. It will not happen. And I wish those Africans who choose to be on the side of Europeans will just do that. But no, no, they will become agent provocateurs. They'll be sabotagers. They'll be murderers. Just like it was back in the past. Just like it was when Malcolm was assassinated. So give you the idea that your own people do this to you. Your own people sold you into slavery. Your own people did this. We had nothing to do with this. We were just minding our own business until you said, hey, there's a whole bunch of these Africans. You want some? You can work them. You can just dog them out. You can shape and mold them into anything that you want. You can take their minds. You can subjugate them. You can impact them deeply with images and notions of their inferiority, and they will believe in you. They will support you. So, we've got a good amount of time, brothers and sisters. You know, so let's jump on the lines, engage in this conversation, you know, and there was something else too I wanted to talk about. I wanted to bring to the attention of our people, but I hope that you got a good understanding of who Dr. Walter Rodney is. And in fact, I'm quite sure there's a whole bunch of us. If you're not in that particular movement, so everyday brother and sister has no clue who Walter Rodney is or any other Caribbean, strong Caribbean men and women for liberation. No clue. Don't talk about them. Maurice Bishop, don't talk about him. C.R. James, don't talk about him. Edward Wilmot Blyden, don't talk about him. You know, they have no clue. Because there's, and once again, I keep thinking of Ezra Ahrohn's quote, you know, there's no instance in the whole world where captor, after being supposedly released, he still wants to be a part of what the captor has done to them. He still wants to share. He still believes that they can make a way when there is no way. 646-646, good afternoon.
Yeah, oh, I just tuned in, so I had to be honest with you. I don't really know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about Walter Rodney. We're talking about Walter Rodney.
Okay.
Yeah, talking about Walter Rodney. Any other revolutionaries like that, today is his birthday. He would have been 80 years old.
80?
Yeah.
That young?
Yep. He died when he was 38. He was assassinated. He was assassinated at 38, but he did so much, and his seminal work is How Europe Underdeveloped Africa. It's a great book.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is with people like Rodney, man, is they lay the groundwork for us to look at history and look at the relationship with us in the Yoruba. And unfortunately, we don't take, the example of what they put forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're too busy trying to integrate with this enemy, and you know, it's on display right now with this Bedouin.
Yeah.
You know, and what's going on? I mean, it's just a blatant display. You know. Baba was talking about the most important thing, which is sovereignty. You know, if you were to talk to that bedwinch about sovereignty, she first of all wouldn't know what you're talking about, and sovereignty would have no appeal to her whatsoever. You know what I mean? Now, how sick is that? That here it is, with all of the talents and skills that she has, that African sovereignty is not appealing to her.
No.
And to most. Right. And to most Negroes.
No, to most, especially those who are educated. Especially like that. Especially those who are in various fraternities, sororities, other social groups and so forth. No, it is about being a part and parcel of being American, about being with these Caucasians. And granted, there are some of us who don't want to be white, but we want to have what whites have. So actually, we want to be white in blackface, you know.
And you know what's so crazy, always, that them sorority and fraternity Negroes have the skills necessary to bring us to sovereignty quicker than others, because they have the technical ability to do what? Build.
Right. But
if they apply it right, but their application is to serve master better than master serves himself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was saying to my old lady the other night, I don't understand why any black woman would want to be in a position to constantly and continuously try and convince Yorubas to act humane. And, you know, she looked at me and she said, you know, I never thought about it that way. And I said, you know, that's all her job is going to be on the Supreme Court, is to write briefs to make white folks act in a humane way towards other human beings, which is not in their nature as not only a race, but a culture.
Mm.
And it's unfortunately that we don't understand it. And the reason why I say this is on another level. There's a brother on Facebook that's a Latino, real good Latino brother, man. I mean, he's an Afro-Latino from back in the 60s, man. You know, he really was there with the Young Lords and all of that. You know, he's coalesced with black folks and everything. And he really upset with the mayor in New York for not giving Latinos positions within his administration. And I had to say to him, you know, you may not realize this, but indirectly what he's doing is protecting himself and maybe black folks from Latinos. Because let's be very clear, when the Latino get a position of authority and power over African people, now let's talk history. You gotta put it all in context with history. When the F have they ever treated us right? Think about it. Look at what's going on in California. Think about what happened in Watts, Crenshaw, and that whole environment. How the Latino came in there, started killing us and doing things of that nature.
Yeah, they took...
You don't even have a basic stranglehold of any semblance of blackness in California. You know, we went from there to Chicago, Detroit, New York, and then out there to build community, even though, you know, you created some of the most barbaric, sick individuals, them gang members. But think about this. When has the Latino ever, when given power and authority over African people, ever treated them fairly? Can you name it?
You know, I cannot, but the point I like to make is that the distinction between Afro-Latinos, Afro, not Afro, it's a hairstyle, but Afro-Latinos, and the Latinxes and Chicanos and all the other labels and words that you use, the bottom line is they've always felt and always supported Caucasians. You know, that's been my understanding of
those that don't understand the culture,
right,
and don't understand the relevancy between the diaspora and enslavement and how, you know, Africans would, you know, took in by the Spanish and put to Puerto Rico and things of that nature. Yeah, and that in that sense. But the reality is, I live in New York. I've never seen a Latino in power and really have some degree of power treat African people equal to he treats Latinos. Now, that's just not a conversation that's not had.
But, well,
you know the, what I mean?
But see, well, but see reality. CJ, the reality is that most of the Latinos who are in those positions are the Caucasian-looking Latinos. They're not the Afro-Latinos. Yeah. They're not Afro-wearing, darker skin, even though they speak Spanish or they speak whatever languages that they speak. No, that's not the case.
Yeah, but that's not true, because in my community, they had a dark-skinned Dominican replace Charlie Rangel, and he's as worthless as they come. But the reality is this, and I think that, you know, some people say it and some people don't. Mm-hmm. No other ethnic group gives a damn about Black people. No other ethnic group. No other ethnic group is going to put Black people ahead of any other opposite ethnic group as far as allegiance and things of that nature. I mean, it's just unfortunately we as a people don't understand that and don't really understand how we're treated and how we're cascaded and basically how we are alone and that our survival is in a very, very
tenuous position.
we really in a place of extinction.
Yeah.
If you don't play right on a certain level, because, you know, white folks, and it's like I was saying to a brother the other day, y'all always talk about democracy and all that BS and voter rights and all that. Man, white folks play the long game. They put forward things that take 50 and 100 years to develop to keep themselves in control. And the perfect example of that is the Civil Rights Bill. I mean, but, you know, when you try to talk to people and explain it to them why you're never going to get the Civil Rights Bill passed because
joke.
It takes away power from white folks.
It's a joke.
They don't want to understand it. They just talking about, we just got to get more Negroes to vote.
Stop it. No. Anyway,
you know,
I got some other.
That's the problem.
Hang on, Jay. I got some more callers, brother, with you, man.
All right, please.
All right,
please
you bet. 404-404-697. Good afternoon. 404-404-697. Okay, you just want to listen. Okay. 267-267-902. 267.
Hey,
Ralph. What's happening, Ralph? How are you, brother?
All right, man. Good. I'm listening to the discussion and conversation, and you know, I had to call in because you know me, man. I got to call in.
Good.
And the thing about it, I hear how passionate you are about sovereignty, and I hear how passionate you are about going back to the homeland. But what happens is, people say, well, why is he still living here if he's that passionate about it? See, and that's the thing, that because I'm hearing the whole conversation from a lot of different people, but they always still live here.
Yeah.
Now, the Nation of Islam been talking about separation since I've been born, but they're still right there in Chicago.
Right.
So, you know, the conversation has to end and action has to begin. And I believe the ones that promoting it should lead the way and show us the way so we can, you know, those of us who are unsure can follow. Now, I heard, you know, Jay just talking about, like, how nobody care about us. Man, I, you know, we don't care about us. I mean, with the amount of violence and nonsense going on in our neighborhood, we don't care about us.
Yeah.
So, you know, I stopped looking at other people about if they like me and this, that. No, 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 I'm a man. I don't care. I don't give a damn if they like me or not.
Right.
Like you said, Dr. Clark said, we have no friends. Mm-hmm. So I got to be a friend to myself first.
That's right. That's right.
And once I'm a friend to myself, then I could be a friend to others. But I don't, come on, man. I listened to it, and I say, like, well, you know, because like I said, I've been hearing the Nation of Islam for years talk about separation and this, that, and the other. But they're still here.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about six decades, brother.
Yeah. So
we're waiting. People who are unsure, who have this vice grip on our minds, I can admit, I got a vice grip on my mind, too, but I'm open-minded to change when I see something working for somebody else. Now, I see some of our folks coming off their continent. They're pouring out over here. Mm-hmm. They're coming over here, taking part in the same capitalist system that the other man is taking care of. So, I just sit back, I watch, and I try to reason with what I'm listening, but I don't see it, bro. Mm-hmm. I don't see it. And that's why I always have to call in and give my opinion.
Sure.
It's not based on nobody, no scholar. It's not based on no books. It's based on my experience.
And what you see. And what you see, what you get.
There you go.
Your experience. No, I agree. I understand, Ralph. I agree with you.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at with all of that, man. But I'm waiting for the folks, because I've been hearing this for a while now, since Ashwa Kwesi and a whole bunch of other people that's still here. They still live here.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting. You know what I mean, man?
Well, the Exodus, and of course that's coming up next month, it never happened. The Exodus never happened historically. There were no Hebrews in Kemet, in servitude. History has proven that. There's documentation on that. So that's a myth. But
right. Oh, man.
But
I'm listening, because I got to tell you something with that, too. But go ahead.
OK, but there must be an Exodus. We must, just like Bob Marley, Exodus. We must get it together.
Movement of the people.
Movement of the people. And get ourselves in a position to go back.
But
there
has to be a mind exodus.
No doubt.
For this to
exactly.
occur.
I agree, Ralph.
Now I'm going to say this one thing, because I know you got callers. Man, you got to look at General Seti when he talks about, is Jesus going to return? I mean, boy, man. Steady. One thing I know about him, he's vulgar.
He is vulgar.
But he used he used the King James Bible and basically proved his point of view. He used it. And I said, like, oh, man. I mean, if you could get past his vulgarness, the brother is very intelligent. And, and the way he came out of that book, like you said, it's not real. None of it's real.
No.
In our mind, or
it's all allegory.
Mind,
it's all story, just like any other fairy tale. It's
but
the same
what he
thing.
Said was, he said, Jesus said that he was going to, y'all think that Jesus is coming back for you. He said, Jesus said, Father, take this cup away from me. I don't want to go on no further. And he also said, God, why did you forsake me? He changed his mind. He ain't coming back for nothing after he was nailed up on there. And that's the God's that's written right in that book that they believe in, bro.
Yeah.
So,
the strongest, Ralph, the strongest belief of Christianity is the cross. That is the bottom line, strongest belief within the Christian religion is that Jesus died for the sins of the world. And if all you got to do is believe that, then you will have everlasting life. If you believe that.
He was up on that cross laying God out. God, why did you forsake me?
Yeah.
So, no, he ain't willingly go up there, man. So even that, there's a book by Kersey Graves. the 16 crucified saviors. That's just a story being written over and over and over again. So, yeah, we got our minds got to we got to get out of this mindset, brother.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Hey, Ralph.
Yo.
Let me ask you this. So you're saying the stories in regards to the Sky Daddy is not real?
Huh? He's going to come back and save his people? He didn't want to be up on the cross. But they say, oh, he laid his life down for us. But it's written right there, and said it. So, I mean, he put it right out there where a child can understand. Jesus changed his mind once he got up there on that cross. He ain't coming back for nobody. He even said, man.
You're on your own.
I'm gonna say this, he said, the disciples said, when you going to come back and restore us the kingdom? He said, only the Father know. Now, if you needed a rider, and you said, when you going to come back and get me so I can get to work, only the Father know.
I always wondered if he didn't come back when his so-called
In 2,000 years.
No. Listen, Ralph. If he didn't come back when his chosen people were being brutalized by this white man, then what makes you think he's ever come back? What would be the reason for him to come back?
2,000 years is enough evidence.
I need to be treated in the manner in which we were. You know,
two thousand years is all the evidence I need.
But Ralph, as far as the whole thing with sovereignty and leaving America, it's not that easy to just pick up and go. I mean, I think we could probably do it financially, but, you know, to be honest with you, the only reason I couldn't go is because of not financial concerns, but health concerns. So, I mean, I can't just pick up and go back home and not be able to
Why preach it then? See, that's the question.
I'll tell you why you preach it.
You making excuses why you can't go back. But if you're preaching it, there's no excuse. And that's why I stand on that.
No, Ralph. The reason to preach it is to
for
get
others
who are capable of maybe doing it, making it a thought and an idea within their mind. The unfortunate thing is we don't define it in the manner in which we should to make it more palatable to those who are the deaf, dumb, and blind.
Brother, a real leader goes first.
Hey.
And then, you know, he just don't talk.
Yeah.
He goes first. So, you know, I'm going to end with that, though. But I'm enjoying the conversation.
Right on,
Ralph. I just had to call in and stir it up a little bit.
All right. Appreciate you, brother.
Tell Oshie about that Prime movie.
Oh, the 24th. They never showed that, never advertised it. It came out in 2020. It's called the 24th. Brother.
The 24th?
I ain't
going to
tell you no more. The first hour is going to piss you off.
The 24th.
But after that first hour, you ain't going to be able to sit down.
Is that right?
And it deals with a true story of infantry.
Okay.
And I'm going to leave it alone with that.
Okay. Well, you know, maybe text me the information. I would love to check it out and talk about it on the program.
I think I did already, but I'll send it.
Okay, right on.
All right, now I'll go back on hold.
All right,
I'll send it to you.
All right, Ralph. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate you, brother. All right. Thanks a lot, Jay. Let me read this from Walter Rodney. Europeans knew well enough that if they didn't control the minds of Africans through a religious means, they soon would cease to be able to control them psychologically, physically, and politically. They knew that they must control the minds of us religiously, eliminate any religion that we had and then replace it with a religion that is dominated by them. And that's why we are predominant in Christianity and Islam. These are not African religions. And so we believe them. We believe the tenets of these religions. For some of us, we can't get out of the church. You know, that's impossible. We cannot get out of the church. And please don't expose the church. Well, I told this one cat, I said, listen, I understand what this is. I'm trying to bring you a narrative of fact, a narrative of facts based on scholarly research by multiple areas and disciplines. Narratives of fact. You have a narrative of faith, a belief system that they told you was historical. That's the thing about Christianity. You know, one of the chapters in Urugu that I've read many times is the one on religion. Remember, Ani states unequivocally that Christianity has to be real. It has to be real historically. It isn't, and it's consistently proven that it isn't. But they try to find every way to make it real. So you, when you embrace it, you're not embracing what it is, the fairy tale that it is, the fallacy that it is, the allegory that it is. No, you're embracing it. It is historical. And so then if it is historical, then what did Jesus look like? Well, it can't look like the brother with the friend. It can't look like what the Catholic Church did about 20 some years ago and painted a Jesus that had locks, not dreadlocks. Dread is because that's the European part. They dreaded this shit. When they saw us, boy, that scared the hell out of them. No, they had to. And many of us protested an image of an African Jesus. Vehemently protested the image of an African Jesus. 646 Jay, go ahead.
Hey, listen, man. Images are the most important thing to get people basically
right
to do what they want them to do. I mean, if you put forward an image and an idea, depending on, you know, the knowledge that the person has, it will determine, you know, how they take that information and use it. Unfortunately, you know, because we don't have access to a lot of information, when certain things are presented to us, we just go along with it. I mean, we unfortunately are not spending the necessary time moving ourselves forward to our own, I guess one would say, liberation or sovereignty or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just like, I think I was talking to someone earlier, and they were saying how you've changed your position on reparations. And you know, if you think about it, reparations will not do anything for Black people on the whole. If anything, it'll do more for white people than it will do for Black people. If it's not the right reparations,
well,
and it's
forward
in the right manner.
If reparations is about getting money, then it will benefit Caucasians tremendously, because it'll be just like a stimulus package. We'll get the money. We'll go spend it. We'll spend it on material things and so forth. And so we'll stimulate the economy. So it won't be like we get reparations and we pull money together to develop institutions, you know, to end this madness. We develop educational institutions,
institutions that teach our brothers and sisters the world of work in terms of electrical
plumbing,
right? All of those things, yes.
All of those necessary things.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I mean, we don't even see reparations on that level. I mean, it's just like, you know, when I deal with certain young people, you know, I always try to figure out what is their skill set. Are they college material? And if they're not college material, let me see if I can introduce them to some sort of trade or something of that nature. And, you know, over my experience, I've been able to introduce, you know, kids into certain trades like plumbing and, you know, electrical, welding, cooking, things of that nature that just wasn't college material. And they do all right. I have a kid that, you know, a couple of years ago, I introduced him to welding. And he got into a welding program, got his certificates, did everything he had to do, man. Now he's out of the country welding, making great money. And, you know, every now and then he'll shoot me an email with a picture of some fine looking woman he banging or something like that. You know what I mean?
But the dude is doing
He's going around the world, you know, as a young 26 now? Mm-hmm. 26-year-old man making good money, seeing different places, filling up his passport, all because he learned the skill. And hey man, you know what I mean? Like it's a beautiful thing, man, and I'm really proud of him. You know what I mean? I always look forward to his emails whenever he send them, or you know, if he get lucky and he can call me, and you know, I'm just so proud of him, man. Because
well, that's what they need to do. That's what we need to do. We need to learn. We need to learn all that we need, all the things that we can learn to build nation build.
Yeah,
nation build is infrastructure. Nation build is to work with others to learn sciences and math concepts. All those things are necessary for nation time. So I got to get out of here, Jay. I got things OG, I got to do.
Hotel,
dear brother. Hope to see you on Friday. All right, dear brother. Peace to you. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, which means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Madasi means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Stay safe. Hope to see you on Friday. Peace, family.
How you been, O? Everything good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything's good.